Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
I mean, here's a guy that criticizes everybody, whoever they take. He's got the answers to who you should take and who you shouldn't take. And all of a sudden, he's an expert. He's in our paper 2 days ago telling us who we have to take.
Welcome back to The First Team. I'm Joe DeLeon, and with me is my good friend, NFL draft analyst Ryan Roberts. And today we are going to be doing our next NFL draft game plan episode as the NFL draft is slowly creeping up on us. We're going to try to see how many teams we can get through. And today we're going to be doing the New York Giants, a team that I hold very dear to my heart that has put me through a lot of suffering. And we're going to talk about a lot of the things that are going to go into their plan for the 2024 NFL draft. And I want to start us off first, actually. I want to just quickly share what the picks are that they have. They've picked number 6 in the first round, number 47 from the Seahawks with the Leonard Williams trade, I believe, in the second round, the 70th overall pick in the third round, pick 107 in the fourth, pick 166 in the fifth, and then pick 183 in the sixth. So not a lot of picks for a team that is trying to get themselves in a position to win next year. I have to open the convo here. Ryan, do you think that the Giants should consider picking a quarterback or trading up to pick a quarterback based on their current situation?
I mean, yeah, they should always consider it. I don't know if it's necessarily the most wise thing. Well, I don't know if wise is the right word. I don't know how tangible it is just because of the money that you still have invested in Daniel Jones. I mean, unfortunately, that number is just wild over the next year or two, right? Like, it's, you're going to be potentially investing a lot of money in the quarterback position, which in theory isn't a bad thing, right? It just sucks when you consider that you put 40 plus mil a year into right. Daniel Jones. Like, that's kind of the unfortunate aspect. But Joe, if there was somebody, because I would hope, and I'm sure that they have, I'm sure the New York Giants have done their due diligence on this quarterback class. And if there's someone that, let's say Drake May, just for argument's sake, let's say Drake May somehow makes it to 4 or to 5, and you're just like, man, we know that we're in a tough spot with the quarterback position, but Drake May might be worth it to maybe move up and to try to make sure that we get that player. Because honestly, Joe, like, a lot of people probably push back on this, but I don't think the Giants have a bad roster overall. I mean, I was looking at the depth chart this morning. Yeah. It's like, I mean, there are offensive linemen or two away from potentially being a good group there. They need a wide receiver that we'll talk about ad nauseum, but you have a very talented defense, right? Like, you might literally be a quarterback, a one skill position player, and a good offensive lineman away from potentially being near the top of the NFC East. Like, I think they can make that ascension over the next couple of years. So if there's a quarterback out there that is within shouting distance and a guy that you can legitimately go after, I would consider it. I would. I'm not necessarily saying I would definitely do it, but I would definitely at least be having a deep conversation in a draft room.
See, the where I sit with this kind of goes in line with how you led that in. I think that because of where they're at with Daniel Jones and the contract that they're tied to, coupled with the fact that they're not like the Vikings where they're pick rich. They have a lot of picks, and they're putting themselves in this position to go up and get somebody. So they're not going to really, it obviously hurts you a little bit to mortgage some future selections, but for them to make that move, they're still going to be able to go and address some of these other positions of need. I just think for the Giants, as you're talking about, I really do not think that Daniel Jones is the future. I really don't think that he is going to be the long-term solution. And I think eventually they will try to push him out and try to bring in a veteran, kind of like what we saw the Falcons do with Kirk Cousins. And the Giants should really consider approaching it that route. But if they want to win, trying to take one of these developmental quarterbacks, I just don't know if really puts them in that position. And frankly, if they take a quarterback, I think it gets the coaching staff fired, because then they're just going to, they're not going to be able to address an important position of need with a talented player that is going to make an impact as a rookie to help them win now. So instead, they're just going to be sitting a kid who's not going to play, and then the team is going to stagnate to do the same that it was.
So my question would be, though, is that this coaching staff, Daboll and his crew, were not the ones that drafted Daniel Jones, though, right? Like, don't you get a little bit of patience in the sense of that wasn't our guy?
And well, I mean, they've never been patient, though. The Maras have never been patient in the past decade of coaching swaps. That's the problem.
The crazy part is that I was just looking up Daniel Jones' contract breakdown on SpotTrack. Do you know what the dead cap number would be if they decided to release him after 2024?
Do you know what the dead cap? It's pretty bad, right?
$69 million of dead cap, dude. It goes down from 69 to 22 to 11 after 2026. So, like, obviously decreasing, and they're going to have to make a move at some point, because the cap hit in 2026, if he gets to that contract, that part of the contract, is $58 million for this, Daniel Jones. Like, it's just wild to think about.
I screamed from the rooftops, this is the worst contract. This is a horrible contract. This is so terrible. This is easily the worst quarterback contract in the NFL right now for the quality of play that you're going to get from him, for the amount of money that you're spending. And you just talked about incurring a ridiculously high cap hit that's probably going to be in the top three of any active quarterback in the NFL. But everybody said, no, Daniel Jones looks so good this past year. He is injury prone. He is mistake prone. The best result, and I think that the Giants should hope for, I kind of think back to what happened when the Rams moved on from Jared Goff. You just need to hope that Daniel Jones has like an average to slightly above average year, where it's enough to decide to move on from him, but enough to sell him to another team that needs to reset and wants to get rid of their quarterback. You swap quarterbacks, and then you try to, you know, figure out from there.
It's such a shame, because I feel like Brian Daboll is such a good offensive coach that he showed fool's gold with Daniel Jones in 2022 when everyone knew it wasn't sustainable. But unfortunately, he got him to play to a good enough level where it made them think, you know what? There might be a long-term investment that makes sense here for a former top 10 overall draft selection. So, yes, I think quarterback should be on the table potentially. I know it's a sticky situation with what the cap numbers are and the dead money over the next couple of years. But man, I'm not even looking at the numbers in front of me, but I'm pretty sure Daniel Jones had what, like 3 touchdowns and 6 interceptions this past year before he got hurt. Like, it was something atrocious, man. Literally, Tommy DeVito and Tyrod Taylor looked much better this past year than Daniel Jones. It's just, it's a bad situation to be in, man. So, but I think you should always keep your eye out for quarterback if you don't have one. So I think that the Giants will have their eyes open. Again, will it make sense? That's the question that comes into effect.
BetOnline remains your top spot for all of your live betting action and contests. NFL, college football, UFC, NHL are all in full swing. BetOnline is your number one source for wagering news, odds, trends, and predictions with both desktop and mobile access at any time. Head to BetOnline today and use promo code BELIEVE, that's B-L-E-A-V, for 50% off your first deposit. That is a 50% welcome bonus. BetOnline, where the game starts.
I don't think it would be bad for them to have on their radar to say, okay, that pick in the second round, if Bo Nix and Michael Penix are on the board, that gives us some assurance that you draft one of them, you sit them, and then you try to see if maybe one of them could provide competition in year two. But I think, though, looking at this roster, what stands out to me is some of the bigger positions of need. Mm-hmm. Deontay Banks had some really good flashes, but I really think that the rest of this corner group remains a lot to be desired. I think that some people have thought that Trey Hawkins could be a good football player, and I think that that has been established that they're better off trying to invest a more early pick in corner. Mm-hmm. My glaring need outside of some of these you talked about the offensive line, maybe they add interior offensive linemen. Sounds like they're going to try and give Evan Neal one more shot because they spent a first round pick on him. But I really think that one of their first two picks has to be a wide receiver. Despite it being a good receiver class, they need to get one of the premier names in the class because they have spent too many seasons drafting or going after middle level talent to slightly above average talent that has not panned out. They need to really, really go all in this year.
I mean, it's definitely wide receiver. Because I would even say like this, Joe, like even if they didn't want to, you know, give Evan Neal another shot at right tackle, they did sign Jermaine Ellimore to a deal, you know, from the Las Vegas Raiders, who's like serviceable, right? Like you can get by if Ellimore is just a solid player because you signed John Runyon Jr. You had Aaron Stiney coming in at the other guard, John Michael Schmitz in his potential second year breakout. And then you have one of the best left tackles in football in Andrew Thomas, right? So offensive line wise, I think it's going to be better than it was last year. The key is going to be able to stay healthy, right? If they're able to stay healthy, I think that it will be a solid unit. Again, not a stalwart unit, not a great unit, but a solid enough unit. But I look at this wide receiver room, and I think there's a lot of solid depth to this room, right? I think there's secondary pass catchers. I do believe that Darius Slayton could be a nice secondary auxiliary option. I do believe that Jalin Hyatt has this speed component that he could be a guy that can take the top off as a second, third option type of guy in a passing game. Wandell Robinson could do the short to intermediate stuff as a dynamic slot. As long as he stays healthy, you have some pieces to work with. But the common theme of those guys is none of them are high volume of high impact, right? Like Wandell Robinson could be a little bit of a high volume guy because he's that shifty slot and RPO heavy system that can get a guy in space and make some plays and you know, after the catch. But overall, you need to find a guy that is your number one pass catcher, right? Find that number one, and that makes guys like Darius Slayton a ton better. That makes guys like Jalin Hyatt a ton better. That makes Wandell Robinson a ton better. So if you're able to get enough out of that group combined with a number one pass catcher in this offense, I think the passing weapons will actually be pretty good in 2024 if they hit on the first pick, potentially their first pick wide receiver at number six.
Yeah, and I think that you hit the nail on the head there where there's all these really good pieces that have shown really nice flashes. And I always love that when there's been a lot of these player podcasts that were, or just opportunities when players have spoken media availability that have just randomly brought up how, you know, who people don't talk about enough. It's Wandell Robinson, like the most random guy to get brought up because there is truth to him. He's very shifty. And I think that he has not been properly set up when fully healthy to really emerge. And I think the way that you get him to become the player he could be is to have a true number one receiver. The way that I look at this is that if Marvin Harrison Jr. or Malik Nabers are not on the board at that sixth overall spot, I do think that it's worth considering maybe trading back because, again, we mentioned how there's really not that many picks. See how many you can accumulate. Maybe one of the quarterbacks slides a little bit. Maybe the Denver Broncos pick up the phone and they're like, we need Bo Nix. We need to get up there. We need to get in this spot. Be open to opportunities to trade back because you are very pick poor in this draft. But I think that the priority should be Malik Nabers, Marvin Harrison Jr., the two guys that have been billed as the 1A, 1B of this class, not particularly how I see it, but both of them are good enough to take over and be elite receivers early on in their NFL careers.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it's very unlikely that Marvin Harrison Jr. gets there to six, but I think that if Malik Nabers is there out of LSU, he's exactly what they need. I mean, he really is. The Giants have lacked a three-level separator in their offense for some time now. Whether Malik is used in the short game, screen game, he's using the intermediate as a route runner, or he has the ability to work the top of the defense as well, I think that he's a guy that can make plays everywhere for an offense. So I think Malik Nabers at six is a very interesting proposition. Obviously, Joe, you're talking about if they trade back a couple spots, maybe to, I don't know, number 9 or 11, somewhere in that ballpark. Maybe they're the trade partner with Minnesota, who knows, at 11. But I think that Roma Dunze is going to be a guy that people are going to talk about a lot out of Washington. Obviously, he's a bigger guy. He's got the vertical speed. He's got this ability to be a separator, multi-levels. The other interesting name, and I know that people are just want like a true wide receiver, but my question is if, like, let's say hypothetically they drop back to 11, and let's be honest, the Darren Waller thing has not really worked out for New York. It just has really not worked out. What if Brock Bowers is staring at you in the face, man? What if they're staring at you?
Yeah.
Okay. And this is why, by the way, doing these exercises are very interesting, because we're projecting these as outsiders looking at rosters. And I think that that's why these are really fun to tune into if you're a fan. Right. But then when we get to the ones where we're the fans of, you know, we know how the fan base reacts to things. I think that Giants fans would not be super happy with that, because
why though? Why?
They've been burned very recently. Actually, and we can look more than just recently, by early aggressive investment in tight end. So you mentioned Darren Waller, they trade for him, barely plays. And when he does play, he looks unimpactful. Yeah. Evan Ingram, his best football came as a rookie and then is now with the Jaguars. I mean, we could go as far back. Jeremy Shockey was tremendous, and then he ends up with a completely different team. I just think that it's really funny.
That's like the Ohio State quarterback thing, right? I'm not going to take CJ Stroud because everybody else before was bad, you know?
I think it's very different than that, because that is making an assumption just based on where a guy is coming from. I'm saying is that the Giants fan base has just been frustrated by tight ends. So trying to sell them on drafting one might be a little bit of a hard push.
Well, my question is, though, is you mentioned Evan Ingram, but you mentioned another guy in Jeremy Shockey. Jeremy Shockey was very good for New York before he started getting banged up.
He was there for such a short period of time, I feel like.
Concussions aren't his fault, though. You know what I mean? Like, I just think if there is a elite pass catcher there with your first pick, you have to consider it. Because also, Brock Bowers isn't a true tight end. I mean, let's be honest. Like, he can play in the slot. He can play out wide. You can move him all over the place.
Well, the same goes for Darren Waller, though. So now you've got two guys that aren't really traditional tight ends.
Sure. I'll say this about the Darren Waller thing. I fed into the Darren Waller hype this past preseason, Joe, and then he burned me in fantasy. Even though I still ended up winning fantasy, it was not because of Darren Waller. I lucked out that I got with my second tight end pick, Trey McBride, and he carried my team because Darren Waller stinks. And at the end of the day, Darren Waller stinks. So if Brock Bowers is on the board, I'm considering it. That's just point blank for me, man.
Now, I do think as we get into day three that they should consider drafting a tight end just to have a little bit of extra depth. Like you're talking about, Darren Waller hasn't been super available. Maybe even on day two in the third round, that's maybe where you take Jared Wiley or you take Ben Sinner. Or Jatavion Sanders if he's still on the board. I think also it hasn't really been brought up. Mm-hmm. Running back is a position, I think, now that Saquon Barkley is gone, is one that should be addressed on day three or maybe in the third round with that third round pick.
Be a good player. Sorry to cut you off with Devin Singletary, you know, motor, kind of a short area guy. Could you imagine Aldrick Estime with the Giants kind of lurking with a little bit of a smaller, shiftier back of a Devin Singletary? I think that'd be a pretty interesting pairing.
Well, my pitch here, what I was going to say is that. Yeah. I think that by signing Devin Singletary, it kind of blatantly yells out, and also by letting Saquon Barkley go and not really being aggressive to retain him, it kind of screams out, hey, this is clearly the type of running back that we want to get. And it's something that I feel like we've been saying for the past couple of years with the whole Saquon situation of, well, we know Brian Daboll likes the Devin Singletary type running backs, the smaller, more compact guys that can catch the ball out of the backfield, isn't going to be more of a thumper. And then they go and sign Devin Singletary, and it kind of just proves that that's the type of guy that they're going after. So I would throw out there, I feel like Bucky Irving, I feel like Blake Corum or
Tyrone Tracy from Purdue. Tyrone Tracy from Purdue, well, would be another guy that's kind of more of a space-oriented type player. But don't you think there's something to be said about, let's have the smaller kind of change of pace, kind of zone-based runner, duoed with a bigger back, you know, an Aldrick Estime type of back, a Braylon Allen from Wisconsin, maybe in day three, some people like him. Some people like Braylon Allen. I don't know.
I think that typical roster building does dictate that. Part of me just thinks, though, the only example we can turn to is the way that the Bills built their roster. And I feel like a lot of the guys that they keep turning to are very similar. And now the guy that they rely on is James Cook, who, not a super big back, is a really good receiver, is really good in these zone type runs. I don't know. I think that another guy that like Rasheen Ali, a guy that you really like, somebody who I think that might fit in that running back position. What other positions do we think else would be worth investing in? I mentioned corner. I think that they need to get an outside corner.
Yeah, I mean, we mentioned offensive line. I still think is a spot that maybe in the second, third round, or maybe even beyond that, you invest a little bit in. You mentioned outside corner. Defensive line's good, man. I'll say that to start out with. The defensive line is in a good spot with the acquisition of Brian Burns combined with Kayvon Thibodeau taking a huge step as a second-year player. Dexter Lawrence as one of the best nose tackles in the NFL as well. And your second level is pretty solid as well. I think outside corner, safety maybe. I mean, you signed Jalen Mills to a little bit of a low-end contract. I mean, he's just an average safety at this point. Jason Pinnock's okay, but he's nothing special as well. Like maybe there's a mid-round safety that you might value in this draft as well. You know, whether that is a Cole Bishop, who I know is a kid that you like out of Utah a lot. I mean, someone like that maybe in just the mid rounds could be a guy that could fit into the back end a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know if I love this safety class enough, but you bring up a good point that maybe they're one of those teams that wants to invest in a little bit of depth. I throw off the first guy that comes into mind and we bring him up a ton is like Javon Bullard. Yes. I think would be very useful for this defense because Cordell Flott should not be the starting slot corner, and you can use Javon Bullard is a slot defender, move him around, get creative, have some fun with how you want to use him.
One of my favorite players from a couple years ago was Dane Belton coming out of Iowa, who's on the Giants roster now. I think that him and Javon Bullard would be a great pairing because they are kind of that modern safety nickel flex that you can kind of do a little some too high looks where if you rotate a lot, either one of those guys could go down and play in the slots when you need him to play in the slot as well. So that might actually, I really like Javon Bullard to the Giants if that's a guy that they look at, because I think he could be very interchangeable and versatile with a guy like Dane Belton on the back end as well.
Yeah, he would fit nicely with some of the other defensive backs too, because there's a lot of speed back there. You know, we need to figure out a way, or they need to figure out a way to continue to build on the current roster structure, the way that things are working. I'm still just dumbfounded that they thought that Trey Hawkins was going to be a good outside corner for them.
Hey man, Trey Hawkins was still a good find by them, right? Like maybe they put too much on his plate, but like, I actually liked him coming out of Old Dominion, by the way, Joe. I don't know if we ever talked about him, but he's a good depth piece to a roster. He should not be a starting outside corner though. I agree.
I always get, just before we wrap up, I always get kind of held up when you've got one corner who is 6'3", 195 pounds, and the one at 6'205". And one is much faster and shiftier than the other. It just feels so weird when you have such a difference in physical profile at opposite corner spot. It just doesn't feel right.
It's a little – so, I mean, some teams still run like – boundary versus field corner compared to like guys that are just a little bit more interchangeable. But I mean, yeah, for the most part, I think teams try to stick to kind of a prototype at outside corner. So usually they are a little bit more of a similar profile. I have on here at our lads, Joe, the projected starting outside corner outside of Deontay Banks is former Notre Dame great Nick McCloud. So again, corner is a massive need, to say the very least, with Nick McCloud and Trey Hawkins are your potential starting corner opposite of Deontay Banks.
We'll have to see what the Giants do on draft night. Drop a comment below. Let us know what you think. If we missed a name that you think that the Giants should draft, let us know below. At Joe DeLeon, at Rising Draft, hit the subscribe button, hit that like button, and leave us a 5-star review wherever you tune in on podcast form. Enjoy the rest of your week, folks. We'll be back with more.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.